Hello, Potters. Welcome to episode 132 from the depths of frozen over hell, Texas.
And happy 2017. Yay.
Yes. Yes, there actually is a hell, Texas. And it is probably just as frozen as we are at the moment.
And I'm sure probably Paris and Italy, Texas are just as frozen. I know San Antonio is. I saw the temperature and I was like, whoa.
This is not the time to be working on resin casting or spray painting.
I'm glad I'm done with that.
Because it will either literally freeze solid or it will never set.
Yeah.
One of the two. Depending on what you're using.
Right. It could be kind of funny.
Hey guys, this is a great time for snow-based cosplay if you need to go out and take pictures. It was actually snowing pretty hard yesterday here. So that would have been the time to do a photo shoot if you would have had a snow-based costume. There were a lot of people talking about Yuri on Ice yesterday.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I guess it's better to do it now than to wait until the middle of summer when you're in full spandex and it's 100 degrees outside.
At least if you're doing things outside. If you're doing it inside, then the weather outside won't matter at all unless the place is closed due to icy roads.
Right.
But other than that, if you're doing, you know, ice skating cosplay, you can do that indoors. But if you're doing the snow-based stuff outside, then given how rarely we get snow every year or ice or anything falling from the sky,
mm-hmm.
you pretty much have to take it when you can get it. And yesterday was that day.
Yeah. It really depends on where you were too. Cause like the area around my job had more snow, less ice, but coming back here home, I have more ice, less snow. So it wouldn't have been pretty here, but it would have been fine at work. And have everybody looking at me funny.
And it was really grainy too.
Yeah.
It didn't feel very good being flung into your face.
No. It did get softer as it wore on, like probably around 4 o'clock or so. It started to get like the really nice big flaky size. And I was like, it's nice to see. I don't miss the snow after having lived in Chicago for a decade. But it's nice to see on a rare occasion. I'm just ready for it to be 65 again. I'm cool with that.
That's coming on Tuesday, 71.
Yay. Go Texas. Way to mess it up.
We will have gone from 16 degrees this morning to 71 on Tuesday. And that was coming from 72 last Tuesday. So we just made a giant V.
Texas!
But hey, while it's cold, it's a great time to stay inside and work on cosplay.
Yeah.
Usually involving textile crafts. It's a little harder to do prop-based stuff indoors unless you have facilities for that. Namely, things that will suck up sawdust and foam dust.
Or if you're doing a lot of tools, like acrylic hand painting, that helps too.
that can be done indoors. Basically anything that doesn't involve particulate flying around,
right.
Or smelly chemicals.
No, we don't want that.
Anything that does not involve those two things, you can do indoors while it's freezing outside. So it's actually a really good time to be working on cosplay indoors and preparing for AllCon.
I really want to put in, and I know I can't do this, but the SpongeBob song where he talks about being indoors because he gets afraid of going outside. I am a 5-year-old. I'm fully aware of this.
I was going to say, you accuse me of dad jokes and then you bring SpongeBob onto the show.
Yeah, I'm a 5-year-old trapped in a 32-year-old's body. I'm fully aware of this.
Well, at least I'm, 16.
You're old enough. It's fine.
I'm old enough. All right, so we have done quite a bit of work on AllCon.
Yay!
Which is coming up in almost exactly 2 months.
It's, I know. Scary.
2 months and a week.
So, and our signups are live, by the way. So go check us out. It's on our Facebook page. It should be on the AllCon page. I'll harass Todd again to make sure it's all correct. But you can sign up now. We already have people that are signing up, which is great!
And it will be up on our website by the end of this weekend. Which, yes, I know, I did not update last weekend. I know it's not in the feed. I know. Hashtag, I know. Family stuff kind of occupied me. So I was not on the internet all weekend. But we have selected our judges, and we have actually announced our first judge, Ashley Wren. Go check out her Facebook stuff. She is phenomenal and has come out with some really nice cosplay photos lately.
And she has a huge set of cosplay tutorials that she's been doing lately too. I think she's had a video up almost once a week for the past month. Really cool, very random things that you don't think about creating. And you're like, oh, I could totally use that for this costume. So give those a look too, because those are really fun tutorials.
And the techniques still apply to other things. You don't necessarily, for the horn tutorial she just put out, you don't necessarily have to use it for that character's horn. You can use it for any kind of horn. So if you're doing a Maleficent cosplay, it applies to that too. So incredibly useful. We will be announcing our other judges in coming weeks. We already know who they are. So, you know, that's all set. We're just, you know, giving you guys suspense until AllCon comes.
Yeah, suspense as of Monday, because we'll have all three of them announced by then.
So by the time you guys hear this, all the judges will be announced.
It'll be moot by then.
Yes. And we have got our trophies picked out
for
the winners.
We have trophies right here. I actually unpacked all of them to make sure that the spelling was correct, because, you know, it happens. But we have all of our categories and stuff set up, and we've changed our categories this year. So instead of doing it by genre, we're going to have it like traditional cosplay contest. We'll have beginner, intermediate, advanced. We'll have a best in show, of course. We're keeping our audience favorite, because that seemed to be a lot of fun last time, and we get a huge response from it. So we have audience favorite. And then we have the judges awards. So it's one less category award. But we figure what we're going to do is we're going to take that money and reinvest it into better, bigger prizes for all the categories. So that'll be good. So we're bringing back our classic trophy from the first year for each category. And I actually like these a lot. I think we're going to stick with these from now on. They're just so, they're cute and they're simple, but they're really impactful. They stand out amongst other trophies. And then this is going to be the one for our best in show winner. With a nice marble base. Great for killing zombies when the apocalypse happens.
Indeed. Those are hefty trophies, guys.
They're hefty. I really like this company. This company has been good to us for the last 3 years. So I'm so happy and excited. And they give us a ton of bubble wrap, too. So if we need another halftime show, we got more bubble wrap.
Indeed. And we are also working on getting the prizes for the contestants. So, of course, if you guys have suggestions, we're always happy to hear them. We've got 2 months to add to the prize pack. So, you know, we're always happy to take your suggestions basically for the next 6 weeks or so, because we have to account for shipping time.
And advertisements that I have to make up out of nowhere.
That too. But it'll be a lot of fun. You know, this is our third year doing this, so we kind of have it down by this point. We're very efficient, those who have been. It's very appreciated. We're actually changing the time slightly for the cosplay contest so that more people can come and not have to, you know, rush after work to get there, because we're hosting the Friday night contest, not the Saturday night contest. So people still have to work on Fridays. So that'll be fun. You can always check AllCon's website, which is all-con.org or all-con.net. Both work. Check them out. They've actually already got a schedule posted, guys. It is ever changing. You know, it's a preliminary schedule. They're still getting panelists in. We know this is what happens with conventions. But if you want an idea of where things are and what's going on and when, you can actually check out their website, and it's already up. It's in both PDF format and Excel format. And I believe they'll also have their mobile app updated by the time the con comes around.
Yeah, they're pretty good about keeping most of those panels in the same time slots. Pretty much main events are solidified right now. So anything that's a big event, you can pretty much assure that it's going to be that at the convention. You don't have to worry about trying to find it.
And we are back at the Crown Plaza Addison.
Yay! And free parking, because AllCon bought all of the parking spaces for the weekend.
Yes, so you don't have to worry about paying or so dollars a day for parking. The parking is free for that weekend only for AllCon. So get those hotel rooms, support the con, please do, you know, patronize the dealer's den. That's how the con stays alive and grows. So hopefully we will see a lot of you guys there.
Yay. I'm so excited. I think we can both safely say this, probably our favorite tiny con, because it's just a nice place to chill out, relax. You get to see new things, meet new people.
Tiny is now in quotes because they're outgrowing the Crown Plaza too.
Yeah, that's why part of the reason why they moved last year, it was partially because the hotel was under renovation, but also they know that they're growing. They can't stay at the same area. But Crown Plaza feels like home now.
Pretty much.
But it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. The 7 p.m. start time, I'm hoping that'll net us more entries. But the last 2 years, we've had growth. We definitely grew that first year.
Oh, and we revamped the rules also, guys.
Yes, we have new
rules. Please do check out the improved rules, because we specifically made changes based on suggestions you guys made so that more people can participate. we're not necessarily limiting it to all handmade costumes now. And we've broadened a lot of rules. So please do check those out, because we want you guys to have fun and we want you guys to sign up and compete. So please check that out. All of it's on AllCon's website and soon to be on ours once I get that done.
It'll get done.
When I'm not doing homework frantically.
It's on our Facebook page. I figure that's a good step one. We can keep moving from there.
Yes. All right. So you've got additional cosplay updates beyond.
Do I?
You have something sitting in the background.
Do I? Oh,
that was from last time too.
Oh, I didn't realize it. Huh. I have something in the background. Okay. Val's still working on her first cup of coffee. Just FYI. So I've got a lot of cosplay updates, due in part to the fact that I have a puppy that had came out of surgery recently. So pretty much I am homebound all the time, every day when I'm not at work. So, which means I have a lot of time on my hand to sit around and do nothing but cosplay, which is both beneficial and kind of tiring at the same time. So I'm getting a lot of stuff done very, very fast. I'll have this sucker ready for PAX, no problem at all. So this is my lovely motorcycle jacket. I probably should have had it like in my lap ready to go, because it's completely done now. I'm totally in love with this thing. It's multiple types of pleather and leather and some vinyl on it. Zips up great. Has no pockets, because when I tried pockets, it looked really unflattering on me. So there's no pockets on it. Probably not the best idea in the universe, but that's okay. I have lots of bags and pouches on this costume, so that'll make up for it. It zips up. It's got snaps. It's got Velcro on it, which will make Amber unhappy.
I have nothing against Velcro. I just prefer magnets.
You'll be happy to know that I'm in the process of making a sword without a scabbard on it, and it needs to magically float on my back for another costume. I'm going to be purchasing some magnets this weekend to make that a thing. I'm not too happy about that, actually. I don't like magnets.
See, I love magnets because they give that floating effect. It's that magic effect where there are no visible attachments. And that's why I like them so much, is because so much of what we cosplay involves a lack of physical science behind it. So if you want to make it look both accurate and have it actually work, you kind of have to use magnets. Velcro isn't always strong enough. Even industrial Velcro only holds so much weight. Magnets can hold more weight than industrial Velcro. Whether you like them or not, they do what they need to do.
That's pretty much why I have to do it, which I hate. And I'm having a tricky time figuring out how exactly I am going to incorporate it into the dress itself, because I don't want to add any more visible seams. I don't want to puncture the velvet any more than it already has. So I'll figure out something. I'll finagle it. But yeah. Yeah. I'm making faces because I really don't want to do it, but I know I have to do it because I care about the accuracy too much. So it'll be a nice work in progress. Hey. But yeah, so my soldier jacket is completely done. The pants are done. The top is almost done. It's just a tank top, so it's nothing too crazy, because I'm femme version of it, of course. Really all I have left to do with this is to finish up the weapon, which I'm going to show you guys here in a minute. Work on some of the weird harnesses and straps and bags and stuff that he has on his body. And he has some healing kits and stuff that I need to make too, which will probably just be out of craft foam because I have so much of it right now. Gloves, and that's pretty much it. So it's really just the fine little details that I have to get done, and then he'll be ready to go. I've been flying through this a lot faster than I anticipated, which is great. And other pieces that I don't have out is I'm currently working on my Blake costume from Ruby Season 1. Her top's almost done. Her pants are done. Her vest is nearly done. I've decided that because I have so much flippin' free time, the detailing that she has on the top of her vest, I'm thinking I'm just going to make those out of lace by hand. Make it a little bit different and special, because why not? I still have to work on her boots, and I do have her leggings/tights already dyed, ready to go. I just have to get the emblem on the side. Be helpful if I actually had this crap available on hand, but of course I don't. It's all just kind of scattered. Some of it's out in the living room, some of it's out in the kitchen, just because I'm following Puppy, making sure Puppy doesn't hurt herself. And I guess the only other piece that I should probably show off is big prop. rubber bands are on because I recently did some gluing to the top of it because the PVC pipe was acting up on me. Big ass prop of doom. Okay, actually, it's not that heavy. It's maybe about 4 pounds, give or take a few. So obviously, we know Val does not like props. Val does not like making props. Val hates making props. She hates them with a bloody, bloody passion. So this is courtesy of my friend Michael. What we decided to do was he was going to cut out all the pieces for me. I was going to be in charge of painting and gluing it all together. And he doesn't have a prop shop or anything. So if you're curious about, you know, his contact info, he's just starting out. He likes making sculptures out of foam, of all things. So this sucker is made out of foam board, PVC. We've got some wood in here, and I know I'm missing something too. Oh, there's plastic on here too. That's what it is. So yeah, I basically spent the last couple of weeks just painting and putting the sucker together. Last week, I decided it felt too clean because it was just very flat. So I went through and weathered the living crap out of the sucker. Boop. So it's almost done. I just have little pieces here and there that I need to finish up on this, and I'll take photos of this beauty. Yeah, I'm really fairly proud of how this whole thing came together. Even though I didn't cut anything myself, the fact that I got it together and did the painting, already stepped forward as far as I'm concerned, because we know how much I hate making props. So yeah, there you go. You proud of me? Do I get a cookie?
You're from the dark side. You already have cookies.
Oh yeah, that's true. And I have my coffee.
You don't want what we have.
Yeah, that's true. I got my cookies, my coffee, and my puppies because the dark side has puppies too.
And of course, the light side has cats, cake, and or cheese if you want cheese and wine. We have that too because we're sophisticated people.
But I don't want those things. Well, shoot. Well.
And we have hot cocoa.
Oh, so. You have hot. And I can't have that because it's got chocolate and milk in it. So
exactly. So we have all the things that you don't want.
I'll stick with the dark side then.
Yeah, I figured.
It's more fun. So yeah, I'm sure this will look a lot more badass once I get the rubber bands off.
Did you prime the pipe first?
I did. It was. We had a little oopsie, as you can kind of see on the top.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, I have to redo that section. We had a small little oopsie with the way this centerpiece was, so I'm going to have to take it apart and redo it.
Okay. I was like, if you had adhesive problems with the pipe, that's usually because it's not primed enough.
Yeah.
PVC pipe is real finicky.
Oh gosh, yes it is.
I mean, it looks fantastic, don't get me wrong. Whenever you use it in props, in fact, I will share with you guys a tutorial on Instructables on making PVC pipe look like wood, and they actually do make it look like wood.
So you it's totally doable.
Or take apart staves, but it's so finicky to work with whenever you're trying to give it that finish that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Because they give it a very glossy, smooth finish on the outside.
Yep.
And you have to strip all that off if you want to give it effects, unless you use some like kills.
Yeah. And for the most part, the only reason I'm reinforcing it up here is just for my benefit. It actually sits really nice in its chassis down here. It's not going to slip out and it's glued well. I'm just concerned about it towards here in case if something happens to it, if I bump into somebody, I don't want there to be extra damage, and knowing that it's going to be foam, it's like,
yeah, I'll be using pipe when I make Milo.
Yeah.
For Pyrrha.
There you go. And I'm also doing something really funny too, is I've covered up a section on the top using some fabric that I had. What fabric did I use? I keep wanting to say corduroy, and it's not corduroy. Poplin. I use poplin. And it did this as a test run, and it came out so cleanly, and it worked so well. I think what I'm going to do is, because you can see here that obviously it's all sandwiched together, I think I'm going to take other sections of corduroy and completely cover all of my edges so it's nice and clean. And it gives a really cool effect to it. I like it a lot, and it was really easy to do, so once all of this is done with the painting and the little details I've got left, covering it with my poplin, and we're going to make it fun.
It's because when you together, you're supposed to use filler on the top and then sand it to a smooth finish like Bondo.
Yeah, and we know me. I'm not going to do that. Let's be honest. I'm not going to do that. I'm also concerned about...
This is educatory for other prop makers because...
Oh, yeah.
You always, there. Whenever you make thick props, you always have to sandwich a bunch of foam together because foam just isn't that thick. Unless you're using a single piece of EVA foam, which if you've ever used EVA foam, you know that it has that textured finish on one side usually, so you have to sand that off, and that's pain. So it's always sandwiched together. So all you have to do is put some sort of filler on the top, like Bondo or Rondo, or some people use even spackling or wood glue, whatever. And then you sand it down so that it looks like one smooth surface. You can even cover, if you want, the top just using craft foam and just cut a strip and...
Yeah. And I thought about going the craft foam route. My biggest thing was I didn't want to go back through and have to paint all that again. I fully admit I'm being lazy. I actually have a really nice fabric that's pretty close to the silver finish that I use. So I'm just going to use that for me. I was also concerned about my gloves, because my gloves will definitely catch on the edges of these things. There is no doubt about it. And the gloves are a pain in the ass to make, because I'm on my third attempt at making these stupid things. I really don't want them to catch and get ruined the first time I wear this out. And I did it as a test strip on the trigger here, which is totally glued in. It's got fabric covering it, and it didn't catch my gloves. So I was like, done, fabric. It's a thing. Yeah, so there you go. Aren't you proud of me and all my weathering?
Woo!
I'm actually really happy with how this turned out. And guess what, kids? We're having a weathering tutorial about how I did this. All right, now I got to put the sucker down in a safe place so it doesn't hurt itself or anybody else. Here we go. Stay. That's all I got. How'd you like that?
All right. So I actually cosplayed last weekend. Yay! For the first time in many, 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 many months. And it felt good. And thank you to our local buddy, Kia, for showing me how to put on makeup the right way, because I look pretty good, I admit.
Yay!
So, yeah. So I went to Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve featuring Stan Lee last weekend, and we ended up getting press passes, thankfully, so that we could cover the cosplay aspect of it. So I'm going to go through a little bit of my observations there, because there were a lot of things that happened, and I'm sure you guys have read all the press reports, so I'm not even going to go over that part. This was supposed to be about the cosplay. So I went dressed up as Arwen, because I still have the costume and it hadn't seen the light of day for about 2 years. So every so often I like to rotate my costumes and let them see the light of day. So it was nice and comfy. It was 72 degrees outside, so it got very, very warm very, very quickly. But that's okay. I noticed on Saturday that when I got there, since I only went for one day because work, so I went on New Year's Eve, and there was a lot of parking open, which you'd find really unusual in downtown Dallas on New Year's Eve, because there should be other people going to other parties. But no, there was a lot of parking available. I went inside, and this was held at the same hotel that Anime Fest is currently held at and to be held at. So I was familiar with the layout already. There were very few signs pointing you anywhere. Their website had a lot of information lacking, such as where things were. And I say where things were, like they'll tell you it's in the atrium, but they won't tell you where that is, if it's in the hotel side or the convention side, because the Sheraton has a bridge that connects both sides of the hotel. So you need to know which side you need to be on, because both host events. So,
and both have places that have an atrium listed. So it makes it even more confusing.
Yes. And both have multiple floors. So if you say third floor, well, that could be either the convention center or the hotel. So I managed to find my way to registration by following all the other people, not following sign. So, you know, as I did my whole lemming routine. And registration was incredibly efficient. I will give props to their volunteer team. They did a very good job. Press check-in, it did not go as expected. I managed to get the badge, and they had no press docket at all. They did not hand me anything except a badge. So there was nothing on any of the celebrities going to be there. Basically, I would have had to go to their website to get any information. They did have what I thought were a few program books, and that was really about it. But, you know, as I stood there waiting to be helped, you know, I watched the registration process very well handled. So I got the badge, and basically the only thing I was told was to be careful of taking photos of celebrities. Because the way they had the con floor set up was the very first floor of the Sheraton, they had Artist Alley. So anybody selling art prints and that sort of thing. They had somebody selling sugar gliders. Not entirely sure how that counts as Artist Alley, but sure.
Why not?
We'll let that slide. And then in the main ballroom that was next to the Artist Alley was what they called the celebrity room. That's where they had all the celebrities, all the 40 some odd guests that they had invited to be there. The room was very dimly lit, very dimly lit. It was like candlelight dinner dim.
Oh.
And I think that was to discourage the taking of pictures of celebrities on standard devices like a cell phone or a point and shoot, because the lighting was bad. It was really bad. I was actually asked to take a picture of a celebrity by a family member. And I was just like, I'm sorry, I couldn't have done it. There was not enough light in that room, especially for my cell phone. I mean, I could have taken it with our handheld, but that would have been really obvious to the about dozen or so security people in the room.
Right.
And that was all that was in that room, was just the celebrities at their tables and the photo op area.
Wow.
That was it. And everybody looked really bored because there was very little traffic in that room. The Artist Alley, very little traffic. I did not see very much in the way of sales going. So I was like, okay. So I started looking around for cosplayers because I was like, okay, there have to be cosplayers here. There's not traffic here. Maybe they're upstairs. So I went up to the second floor. The escalators were working. Yay. They worked all day. Yay. They didn't turn them off. So I went up to the second floor of the convention center, because the convention center was pretty much where almost everything was being held. So I went up there. That was the vendor area, what they call the exhibition hall. That was where they have all of the people selling things that are not art prints. It was also where they had all the cosplay guests. Now, when I looked on their website, they looked to have about a dozen cosplay guests, give or take. And they had a variety of guests chosen, both male and female. So it was like, great, I can go and interview these people. Well, I only saw about 8 tables total, which means there were some people who did not show. And I don't remember offhand. I know that Lone Star Joker was one of them. I did not see a table for him. And I was very sad because we wanted to interview him. The tables were either cluster fudges of people or there was nobody there. So of the really well-known cosplayers, they always had crowds and I couldn't ever get a chance to interview them. And I stopped by multiple times. They were either not there at their table or there were a ton of people around them. So I was like, okay, fine. And all of the other people basically had no visitors at all. So it was either you were well known or you weren't, and nobody wanted to bother with you. Again, slightly more traffic on the upper floor. Not as much as I would have expected to see. And most of it was clustered around the local news media, because they had some booths there too as well, and they were giving away things, which is probably why free things make people come. That's why there are a lot of people. So I went and visited the Cosmunity booth, and I had a talk with the gentleman over there about Cosmunity, which... incidentally, you guys can go and check out their information from the North Texas Cosplay Group, or you can just search Cosmunity online. But I had a nice long talk with actually sponsored the Cosplay Hideaway, which you guys will have seen our interview with Jacob last episode about how the Cosplay Hideaway works. They sponsored it this time so that there were snacks and drinks in there. I actually went and visited the Cosplay Hideaway. They had a ton of supplies. If anything broke... If your hair suddenly lost its curls, they had curling irons. They had blow dryers. They had mirrors.
That's awesome.
They had anything you could possibly need, including makeup supplies.
That's awesome.
So it was a really well-stocked room, and kudos to Cosmunity and to Jacob for arranging that, and kudos to the volunteers who were running it. The room was open pretty much at all times, I mean, with the exception of overnight. They locked it at that point. But other than that, you could pretty much come and go freely. So it was great. If you ever had a cosplay emergency, that was the place to go. Or if you just needed to take a load off, because they did not allow photography in the room. So there was that. So I tried to attend cosplay panels while I was there, because they were supposed to have cosplay panels. Well, the thing was, is that most of the content hosted by people who were not vendors and not guests were on the third floor. And if you've never been to the Sheridan, a lot of people don't even know about the third floor.
Yeah, that's true.
because you'll miss the fact that you can just make a U-turn and go up the escalator again. So that said, I think the most people I saw on a panel was 3. Oh no, I'm sorry, it was 5. Because I filmed a really good panel actually by the Geeky Seamstress, which was Cosplay Commissions and You. And you guys will actually be able to see that on our channel once I upload it to Valve for post-production. Because, yeah, circumstances. That was actually the best attended panel that I attended all day. And it was the only panel I attended all day. Yeah. The next panel I tried to go to, Cosplay Over 35, panelists never showed. And nobody seemed to know what... They seemed to know of the cancellation because it wasn't printed anywhere. They actually had digital schedules everywhere. And there was nothing written on it about cancellation. Tried to go to another panel, Cosplay Chess. Well, everybody who's been to an anime convention knows Cosplay Chess. It's very popular, and it's a lot of fun. They only had 3 cosplayers show up. And you need a full set of 32 if you're going to play on a full chessboard, because it's 8, 8, 8, and 8 for both teams. So that ended up not happening because of the lack of people. And I mean this in the most destructive way possible for the hosts if they end up getting word of this. Your squares need to be bigger than 15 inches. I know that you guys limited room and that you were planning on a big audience, but when you're putting 15-inch felt squares adjacent, that's barely enough for an adult to stand on without costume on. Like, if I were dressed in what I have, a 15-inch square, and then having somebody right adjacent to me on all sides would make me very claustrophobic and make movement nearly impossible. So next time, please consider doubling the size of your squares if you're going to have them adjacent like that. And probably not a good idea to have them on felt. You may just want to take, I saw that they were using tape, just tape out the squares.
Yeah, it's so much more efficient too.
Yeah. And yes, it's a lot of tape to take up, but you'll have a lot more control over the board that way instead of the felt, because the felt will have moved as well as people walk on it. And unfortunately, trip over it, even some costumes that I saw. But that said, panels, they had issues with their panel programming communication.
Yeah.
Their audio video, the sound guys and the video guys, fantastic. Very helpful, knew exactly what they were doing. They were on the ball. Kudos to that team. But you know, they just had no communication from the con at all. That was cosplay and otherwise. That goes for the other panels that we're going on too. A lot of the other panels were very poorly attended.
Yeah, if they happened at all. From what I heard, one of the guest panels, because there was no communication with the AV guys, they didn't have any AV equipment set up. So that guest panel, like this was like one of the like A-list, B-list celebrity guest panels, had to be canceled because of no AV. But again, they didn't know about it. Whereas one of my friend's panels ended up being one of the highly attended ones, and it was just a standard fan panel. I think he said he got maybe about 35 or 40 people, and that was one of the more heavily attended ones. I was just like, oh, that's not a good sign. I'm wondering if because of the low number of people on Friday, a lot of the panelists were like, well, what's the point in me even showing up for Saturday or Sunday if this is how small it's going to be?
For whatever reason, they ended up having a lot of trouble with panels in general for various things. But at least in a highlight, the cosplay that I did see was very well done. There was a large diversity of it. So, you know, movies, books, television shows, anime, sci-fi, fantasy, everything. Very large array. A lot of Disney, surprisingly.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody was very happy to have their photo taken for those that I was able to take photos of, because this was a con where a lot of people basically spent time talking with friends. And I'm not about to interrupt a conversation just so I can take a picture off, in which case they're relaxing, because this is the whole cosplay is not consent thing, guys. If somebody very clearly is relaxing and vegging with friends, I'm not going to interrupt them for a picture. So great costumes. Only about maybe 30% of people were in costume. And that seemed low for what I would have expected, because this was supposed to be a nerd con, and at nerd cons there tend to be a lot of cosplay. A lot of people just came in casual gear or cosplay that was so casual that I wasn't always able to recognize it. And that's probably bad on me. So cosplay contest came around at 5 o'clock. Very little marketing. Very few people even knew this was happening. When I went to go check the judging room, the pre-judging room, to see if this was even going on, which is a bad sign in and of itself, the room was dark. So they had pre-judging 2 hours before the show was supposed to start. And then the pre-judging room was off in a hallway all the way at the other end of the con, not well labeled. The room where they were going to hold the contest, again, not well labeled. I had to ask a volunteer where it was, because this was in the atrium, but it was in the convention side atrium. Or I'm sorry, no, this was the hotel side atrium.
Oh, even better.
That was even better. So I found the room, and there was another group in there that was scheduled to be there until 4. 4 o'clock came and went, and about 4:15, the cosplay team came in and found out that there were no chairs in the room, and there was no stage in the room, and it was burning up in that room. It was almost like they had the heater on, which I know they didn't have the heater on. It was the AC. It was very bad AC. The chairs never showed up in the room. We had 16 chairs total for the entire audience to sit in. There was no stage because the group that was in there before them had their roped off area still set up 5 before the show started. So they basically had to take over the other half of the room. There was no sound system in that room. So there were no microphones. So they basically had to shout everything using, you know, cafeteria voice. The contestants were lined up outside the atrium entirely because it was so warm and there was so little room that they couldn't do much with it. And then they went through and they did their contest. There were about a dozen contestants, all of whom did very well. And they gave out their judges' awards and they gave out their prizes. It was a small contest, so the prizes were small, so that was to be expected, but that's okay. I mean, it was very smoothly run the whole minutes. It was very efficient. I think there were 6 press people in the room, so we made up a good portion of the audience. And that was pretty much the end of the convention for me. At that point, I was just both worn out because I was constantly walking around, and there was just nothing there.
Yeah.
The whole con basically shut down at 6 anyway. And, you know, now that I've gone over the con, let's do some constructive criticism. And I say this with all love for conventions. Those who know me know I've been to conventions for over a decade. I know how these things should run. I'm not going to run them myself because I'm lazy.
We're not that crazy.
And I don't have the free time because I know how much time these things should take.
I know. It's what to say. We do enough with running a cosplay contest. Anything beyond that, no, we're good.
In fact, we run multiple cosplay contests. Let's be real.
Yeah, I know. It's like, okay, we've done our part. We're good.
Yeah. So that said, first and foremost, one of the most important would be information. People need information because otherwise they're not going to go. They're not going to know where things are,
right?
What things are, and how it's supposed to work. So they desperately needed to put information on their website, and they needed their app working. They had an app. It did not work. So they needed to have paper schedules, or they needed something, and they needed signs desperately. You need to get people information. And when things are canceled, you need to let the people in the room know, because it gives them a very sour taste if they're sitting there for 10 minutes and nobody shows, and then they have to spend 45 minutes just puttering around because they suddenly have nothing to do. I'm not going to address the financial issues. That's beyond the scope of what I'm letting them know that they need to fix. Foodstuffs. The Sheraton is very expensive when it comes to food. It was $23 for breakfast.
Yeah.
And the con was held over New Year's weekend, which is a holiday weekend. It's in the middle of a giant business district. That means nothing is open. So you had a lot of people. They had anticipated up to 8,000 people. You need to feed those 8,000 people with something, or let them know where the food is so that they can get to it, especially for all the people who flew in from out of town and have no idea what Dallas is like. They didn't have any info on their website about food at all. When I got there, there were 4 food trucks. All of them were Asian food. The hotel offered Mexican food for a decent price, but for extremely limited hours. I think it was only 11 to 2, and that was it.
Bleh.
And it was pretty much, you could get nachos, you could get a taco salad, or you could get fajitas. That was it. Yes, it was reasonably priced, packed up everything and left at 2. So after that, it was the food trucks, or you had to go out to get food. And remember that none of the parking lots in the area have in-out privileges. So if you leave, that's it. You have to pay again. And there's not much that you can get that was open on a Saturday in downtown. You basically had to order in from the places that were open. So they really needed to have information about where to get food that was not overpriced. Not going to address the hotel room thing. Y'all can go read about that. Save to say, planning needed to be done on that part.
Yeah, lots of planning needed to happen. That's for sure.
Yes. Okay. The whole having a 4-day con over New Year's weekend thing. This was right after Christmas. People have already spent a lot of their money. Having a 4-day con was not a good idea for your first year. Nope. Most cons that I've been to will start as a 2-day con at most. This was supposed to be a New Year's Eve con. Have it over New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, and that's it. That's it. That's all you need. There was very little programming from what I heard on Thursday, and very little on Friday. Just have it Saturday, Sunday. They would have saved quite a bit of money that way, too. And the tickets were very expensive.
God, they were
for a con. It just was $200 for a 4-day pass.
Yeah. I mean, even not just because of a first year con, but just even for a comic convention in general, that's more than San Diego Comic-Con prices. That was a little obscene.
And that's not counting things like the VIP packages that gave you access to Sector 37, which was basically the 37th floor of the hotel, which was supposed to have all sorts of concessions for free that came with your badge. That did not happen, more or less. So they really needed to shrink the con. They needed to shrink the number of guests by a lot, because all those guests were sitting there doing nothing. They didn't even need that many cosplay guests. They didn't need a dozen, maybe 6, cut it in half. And I say that as a cosplayer. You don't need that many cosplay guests, especially since I don't think any of the guests gave panels. They basically sat at their tables the whole time selling prints and talking to people. None of them offered content. And that's to the best of my knowledge. If I'm wrong, you know, feel free to correct me. But I did not see any panels on the schedule that were run by them. So just shrink the entire package. What else? Aside from parking issues that were not under the hotel's control, because in downtown Dallas, when they get wind of a convention, they like to raise prices.
Gouge prices. Oh, yeah. And you know they're going to do that for AECON, too. That's a guarantee. Yeah. I will say with their scheduling, because even though I had to sit and watch everything from home, I couldn't leave because of puppy. I noticed that on their Facebook page, as well as their Facebook event page, they were having to update the schedule almost every couple of hours on all the days, because a signing had been moved, an autograph session had been moved, a photo op had moved. And I think that's probably why so many panels were not attended well, is because those schedules kept changing and people had to rush and be like, oh, he's not at 5 o'clock. Now he's at 2:30. I got to run and do this thing. So I think even seasoned comic conventions know this. Once you have a schedule set for your artist or for your sponsored guests, you got to keep it to that schedule as much as possible, because you're just going to screw everybody else over with one change. And that's essentially what happened, is it's change after change after change. And I know another concern I heard from Doctor Who fans was that the Doctor Who guest that was there had his signing scheduled at the same time as his Q&A panel. You can't really double book your guests at the exact same time. That doesn't work. I don't know if they ended up fixing it. I'm hoping that they did, because somebody was like, oh, well, that's not a good idea. So I don't know really what happened with that. But yeah, don't double book your guests like that. That's just, that's a boo-boo.
Speaking of double booking, this actually affected the cosplay contest. They had the one photo op for Stan Lee scheduled 15 minutes before the contest was supposed to start. Half their contestants were downstairs getting photos with Stan Lee.
Yeah.
So contestants arrived to the contest late because they were downstairs getting their photos. Wouldn't you get your photo with Stan Lee if, you know, it was free, ultimately, and you had a 15-minute window in which to do it?
I did it.
Yeah. So they really should not have scheduled that on top of anything.
Especially since he was the big billing guest. It's like, this is Stan right. Lee's Marvelous Nerdier Zeep. You don't schedule anything else with Stan Lee competing.
Right. And even the Kiri Fisher tribute that was scheduled at the last minute, God bless him. Thank you, Peter Mayhew, for doing that. However, everybody left their panels to go to it. It's like, those sorts of things you cannot schedule on top of anything else, because you know everyone's going to want to go to that. And so you're basically, I mean, not to discount the people who are doing it. I say, let the people go to it. Just, you're basically shafting the other people who had content scheduled during that time. Room placement. I get that they rented out the entire hotel, which they probably didn't need. They could have shrunk the number of rooms that they used. They did not need to rent out that entire hotel. That's a big hotel and a big convention center. When you have things on the third floor, you need somebody to point to the fact that they're floor.
Mm-hmm.
All they had to do was get just a little sign holder and just say additional content on third floor, point up. That's it. That's all they had to do, because they had the 501st on the third floor with their Shoot a Trooper. It was for Make-A-Wish. It was for charity. They had so few people visit, and it was a lot of fun. They had so few people up there. And the Rebel Legion was up there too.
Ouch.
They had all these people up there. The game room, the video game room, was on the third floor. And they had two independent studios. I know a Heavy Studios was one of them, from, I believe, Austin or San Antonio. They were debuting two new games in beta. Very few people that were up there, because nobody knew it was up there. The tabletop gaming room was upstairs on the third floor. Just, they really needed signs, and they needed people to know where stuff was. I do not fault the volunteers in any way. The volunteers, every single one I talked to, was very friendly, very helpful, and did their jobs competently. They were fantastic. It was the con itself that needed this extra. Now, I say that they need this extra marketing push, is what I was going to say. I realized that they marketed somewhat. The problem was how they did their marketing.
Yeah, that's the big kicker.
They did it on the radio, which most of the young people I know don't even really listen to anymore, besides in the car. I listen to the radio all the time. I never once heard an ad for them. Two, very little on social media. Very few people even knew that this was going to happen. And what they did do was confined to the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. This should have been blasted all over Texas if they wanted that kind of attendance, because that's beyond Anime Fest levels of attendance, and Anime Fest blasts all over Texas. They needed to advertise important events if they wanted attendance. They didn't advertise any events at all. They just said, oh, these people are going to be here. But they didn't say, oh, hey, their Q&A session is here. Their photo op session is here. You can go visit these people here at this time. you should attend the roast of Stan Lee at this time and have a New Year's Eve toast. None of that was done. There was no physical stuff. There were definitely no mailers sent. And I didn't see anything on local news media besides maybe CW33, and that's because they were there. So they needed to retool their media presentation for marketing. Their PR people were doing it wrong. They didn't reach the target audience that they needed to reach to get that kind of attendance. And if they wanted cosplayers there at all, they failed miserably on that front. I didn't even see much from those cosplayers saying, hey, I'm going to be at Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve. So I'm not going to cast aspersions on the board and the people who are running this. They've gone out of business. They are defunct. Now, that said, they had really high expectations that were way underserved.
Yeah, they were going for
underserved.
Bigger, better, bolder first year out. And that's just one of those classic misconceptions that, oh, if I run a convention, they're going to come. And it's like, no, it's always best to start out small, have your expectations short so they can be exceeded and you can build up from there. Because time and time again, there's tons of stories of conventions thinking, I'm going to get 10,000 or 50,000 people. And then it just doesn't materialize because your first year convention. There are congoers who are very loyal to the conventions that they go to. Like they'll always go to X place or Y place. If they see a new one, they may be a little hesitant because they don't know the reputation. They don't know how it's going to stack up with the conventions they already love. So they're not going to spend a ton of money or a ton of time on these places. It's always best to start small, build your way up. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a New Year's weekend convention because IckyCon has been doing that for a couple of years and they do it well. They're still a small convention. They still do it in a shorter size and that's okay because it works well for them and they know how to make it profitable and fun.
That was part of their attendance hit.
Yeah.
A lot of those people that they were hoping would go to Nerd Year's Eve went to IckyCon. And it's because IckyCon is an established con. People know what they're going to get there.
So exactly.
They'd rather spend their money somewhere where it's established.
So yeah, it's a challenging thing. And I'm in agreement that if it was like a two-day convention for comic book artists or whatever, and they had 5 to 10 really good guests, they could have made it work out well. They probably would have had the same number of people showed up, but it would have been a good starting block to build off of for future entertainment.
And I'm trying to think of, I'm trying to be nice and constructively, you know, helpful about this. Make sure that your people know how to run a con.
Yeah, that sounds so mean, but it's hard to really say it in any other way because they were trying for one thing and it ended up getting something else and it just didn't mesh well.
And you know, being a con goer, being passionate about cons doesn't necessarily make you somebody who's good at running them. And I say that again, this is constructive. This is because I want them to be better. Not them as in Geek Expos who ran the con, but cons in general. There's a certain kind of personality and a certain type of strategic thinking that you need, a certain amount of, you know, intuition plus logic. You have to run these things and you have to be a good leader. And you have to be willing to take the heat and take the criticism to make it better when people tell you that sort of thing. So just make sure that you're working with experienced people that know what they're doing, that know how to market your con, that know how to handle guests, that know how to handle cosplayers and everything else. Their registration team did fantastic. You know, I can't say enough about them. That's good, but yeah, have a good team behind you, have solid planning behind you, make sure everything is dotted and crossed before you actually start your convention. You can't be doing basic things at the convention itself. Yes, you're going to put out fires. Our all conference know all about that. But you can't be doing the basics while the con is running. So, yeah. Also, I wanted to add that just having big names at your con does not bring people. Say, oh, Stan Lee's going to be at the con. Nichelle Nichols is going to be at the con. Sylvester McCoy's going to be at the con. That doesn't necessarily mean people are suddenly going to flock to you in droves. And even then, I will say that most of the guests that they had were for a certain demographic. There were very few guests there that millennials would associate with. And even then, the ones that millennials did associate with are because they grew up with them. There's nothing necessarily as current, except for maybe the 100. But pretty much everything else was just like, huh? It was 40 very kind of unrelated guests. It's like, I think you guys need to be a little more selective with your guest list if this is what you're driving for. Because I question some of those guests appealing to nerds. This whole thing was supposed to be marvelous nerd years Eve, nerdy things. Then I would think that your convention would kowtow to that theme. Your vendors should appeal to nerds. Your artists should appeal to nerds. Your guests should appeal to nerds. And your events should appeal to nerds. There was a very disjointed lack of that. And I wish that weren't so. I really do. I was thrilled to see Nichelle Nichols, but not because I'm a nerd. The only one I was thrilled to see as a nerd was Sylvester McCoy. And that's because he did Lord of the Rings and The Doctor. Those are nerdy culture things. Pretty much everybody else was like, okay, Stanley's the biggest draw. I never saw him at his table. Like, okay. So I have already seen people who are trying to hold a New Year's party next year in place of what will now not be Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve because the company has gone under. So planning to do this, and I've already seen numbers flying around for renting out ballrooms. Hopefully they are a little more cognizant of what it takes to run something like this. And they learn from the mistakes. That's the whole point of this. Learn from the mistakes of Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve. Because we want good conventions. We don't want and Texas in general to suddenly have this reputation of not paying their bills and having crappy conventions. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. You can have a convention here, sure. You can have one every weekend. Should you? Probably not. Especially if you're competing with other large established conventions in the state of Texas.
Or if you're competing against holidays where you've already spent a lot of your money.
There are already costumed parties for New Year's Eve if that's what you want to go to.
Yeah, and there are themed.
Exactly. This was not, you know, hashtag not worth. This was not a place that cosplayers would probably want to have spent their time on New Year's Eve. I mean, Nerd Year's Eve was nice. Even if they had it again this coming year, would I go? No. Would I recommend anybody else go? No. I mean, would not recommend going again. You know, 2 out of 10 did not have a good time. Thankfully, I did not spend that much money. The most money I spent was on parking. That's because they're parking and not taking credit cards and would not give change. And all I had were 20s on me. So I ate money in parking, but I mean, that was really about it. And then I spent money on food because of course there's nothing open and it was all Asian food. I'm not knocking Asian food, guys. The reason I say that is because one, not everybody likes Asian food, and two, not everybody can eat it, especially with those who have dietary restrictions. That food was full of gluten. So anybody who is gluten intolerant can't eat any of the food trucks. Anybody who cannot eat meat, food trucks, because they all had meat and some sort of carb. Anybody who had peanut allergies probably couldn't have eaten at any of the food trucks. So it was just more of, there are certain issues for people that have sensitivities to food that just cannot eat at what they had. They needed a bigger variety. So there was that. So that was Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve. I just came home and veged and toasted the end of 2016.
Woo!
That was pretty much it. All right. Moving on.
Wow. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
I feel bad because this, I think this is probably one of Amber's first comic convention experiences.
And this was my first comic. I had no idea what to expect. I've always been to anime conventions or Renaissance festivals. I've never been to a Comic Con, and this was not a good first experience for me.
No, I think I need to just bite the bullet, go back to Fan Expo or whatever March one that they have, and just take Amber with me. It's like, here's my treat. We're going to go on Saturday. This is what a real comic convention is like.
Is it the end of March / beginning of April?
Yeah. Worst timing ever, but you know, I understand why they're doing it.
It's right after AllCon. All the cons are moving around now.
It's not helpful at all.
No. And speaking of comic, I'm sure that many of you have seen the news about Phoenix Comic Con.
And their dumb new rules.
Okay. So just a little clarification about the article.
Yes.
If you guys need to read it first and not just read what you're seeing in social media, because fake news is everywhere. It's not Phoenix Comic Con itself that is charging the volunteers. Basically, TLDR on the article, Phoenix Comic Con has had issues in the past with volunteers coming in, getting their free swag, and then leaving before they actually do their shift. So basically they're getting stiffed the price of a badge and or hotel room, and then they're shorted volunteers. Okay, they're not the first con to have this issue. AKON has had this in the past too.
Every convention has this issue.
At some point. So what they did is they contracted out to a third party, a nonprofit, to the best of my understanding, that would provide them volunteers. Nonprofit has a membership fee. And it is not grandfathered, which means even current members would have to pay the fee to be eligible to be a volunteer at this con. So basically they're making it so that you are having to pay to be a volunteer, or at least pay to have the chance to be a volunteer,
because it's not
even if you're a member. Exactly.
It's not a guarantee that you will be picked as a volunteer. And the last I heard, because there was actually a letter that the director of Phoenix Comic Con sent out to volunteers and from last year, I think he sent it out yesterday because I was just reading the article, is that there's maybe even tiered pricing. So the more that you pay, the more likely that you are to be picked as a volunteer for the following year.
So basically you're paying to be in a roulette for the chance. It's like a game show to be picked as a volunteer. And even then, simply paying the fee doesn't necessarily vet you as being competent as a volunteer. You're just paying for the opportunity. So basically, even then, if you don't get picked, you don't get your $20 back, and then you have to pay full price to get into the con. So that was the summary on the article. Now that you guys know, I actually responded back to the original post on this, because I had mentioned that there are a lot of cons having this problem right now. Volunteers basically taking their stuff and running. This is not a new issue. So what some cons have started to do is that they will have volunteers pay for their badge up front. Upon completion of their volunteer hours, however many that con sets, they get reimbursed in full for the badge. That is perfectly okay in my book, because it ensures accountability. The con is financially stable that way, because you know, they've gotten their money in case the volunteer stiffs them or has an emergency, whatever. The volunteer is assured of doing their work. The con is not shorted volunteer staff. And the volunteer gets their money back in full. So, yes, you're temporarily out money, but you get it all back. So that is okay with me. I'm not sure I would be okay with that for hotel room.
Yeah,
it's a crash space. I wouldn't want volunteers to have to chip in for a hotel room and then get reimbursed for that, because that's a lot more money.
And it can be very tricky with hotels too, because they're very squishy about their systems anyway. I would be really concerned about having to give my money to the con and then to the hotel, waiting on reimbursement from both places. And it's
plus then you have the whole issue of what happened at Marvelous Nerd Year's Eve, where some volunteers had their card charged anyway.
Right.
For the full price of the room once attrition was invoked. I would not want to give my credit card to the hotel with that kind of a risk, knowing that I was supposed to be reimbursed.
Right.
And then Reimbursements, guys, can take 2 to 3 months. If you work in the business world, you know how this works. Reimbursements can take for freaking ever. That's not something I'd want to have to worry about. So I could see the badge, maybe not the hotel room. That doesn't sound like that's what this is in Phoenix Comic Con's case, because it's a third party and it's a membership fee. It's not a badge fee.
Even better, it's a yearly membership fee.
You have to pay it every year. And you have to reapply every year to get in that volunteer pool. So even if you do a fantastic job in your first year as a volunteer, and they're like, we want you back. Nope. You have to enter the roulette again.
It's truly like trying to get a San Diego Comic-Con pass. Like it's that's the type of roulette that it is. And that.
And they're saying that they want 950 volunteers or 950 staff total in their first year. And they want to bump it up to 1,100 the following year. And then they're going to drop it way down. It's like, are you planning on some magical efficiency showing up that you're suddenly going to shrink your staff by a couple hundred? Because your con's going to grow, theoretically, which means you should need more staff.
Not less.
Exactly. And you're doing this roulette and you're not necessarily vetting people for their competency.
Like, right.
Have you worked at a con before? Have you done volunteer work before? Have you worked with whatever department you're in before? Very basic questions that really should be asked of volunteers. And I know that one of the responses in the thread was, well, why don't you just pay the volunteers yourself to help you and just get a staff of like 50? Like, no, no, no. You don't understand how this works. Volunteers are not paid because cons are businesses and want to save money, and so they depend on that volunteer help. If you paid those volunteers a working wage for a day, even if you paid them like, say, $10 an hour, that for a 1,000-person staff, I think we worked out the math, it was something like $360,000. No con's going to pay that. No con is going to pay that. They're going to depend on volunteers because they're businesses. That money goes either back into the con or, in the case of for-profits, back into the entity that owns the con. So they're not going to do that, not to mention that that's a heck of a lot of money that you suddenly have to account for worked hours, because there's suddenly contractors for you. There's paperwork involved. If they're just volunteers, there's no paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to stick with the volunteer thing. I don't approve of third-party outsourcing for volunteers simply because you lose control over who those people are. And as a con, I would rather have a volunteer head, a head of staff who is responsible for that sort of thing and taking care of the volunteer corps in a general sense. And then the departments can each take care of their volunteer crews. I think that's just so much easier, because then you can screen for the quality of volunteers and not have what ends up being complained about every year is how crappy the volunteers are. They don't treat attendees well. They yell at the attendees. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where things are, when things are. They don't know who to ask for help. They don't know who's here and what's where. And they're just cranky all the time.
Right.
We hear these complaints every year.
All the time.
It's like, it's all up to the con to screen their volunteers. And even then, you can only screen for so much. You can't really screen for personality unless you had an in-person interview with every single one of these people. So it's up to the con. It may as well stay up to the con. Third party is not going to change anything except increase the amount of money that has to be involved, because now there's a third party involved.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, don't do what Phoenix Comic Con did.
It's not helping too, now that I'm still reading the message that the con director sent out to their volunteers, is that he's claiming that the reason they're now charging the fee is because it's by state law. Like, he's backpedaling already, and he's saying it's state law that I have to charge this fee now in order to ensure that we have enough volunteers. And he said, let me see here. He said that the convention has two options now, is that if they want to do paid volunteers so that they become staff members, they said that they would estimate that less than 30% of the existing staff members could actually be paid and they wouldn't be able to run the convention efficiently. Or the other option was to do the $20 membership fee for volunteers. And he's like, and those are your two choices. And we went with the one that seemed like the best option to ensure that we could still have more volunteers to attend our convention. It's like, okay, don't hide against behind that BS of it's a state law thing, because that's just not going to work.
The problem with making those sort of claims is that they tend to be debunked very quickly, because anybody who questions it is going to go looking. And that information is very readily available to the public.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make claims like that, make sure that they're true.
And there are other conventions, because I know people have brought this up too in the discussion, such as DragonCon, which does have a membership fee. And I looked into this a little bit further and I did some research. There is a $20 membership fee. It is a one-time only lifetime fee. So once you are in as a volunteer for life. There is no roulette system. You're able to go to whichever department that they feel you would best fit. You can actually have that fee waived depending on how many hours you work. And if you have like the head of one of those departments, like let's say the head of programming has been intentionally seeking you out because they know that you have this really great skill set and you would be perfect for a volunteer, they can bring you in and have your fee waived. And you're in for life. And I also did some searching to see what that $20 is for. The $20 is for a background check, which is very important at DragonCon, because DragonCon is DragonCon. You have 80,000 people. Good to know that my volunteers are okay with being volunteers and they're not a security risk.
Not to mention those people interface with the guests.
Yeah. I'm glad that they're not a security risk. So I'm okay with that $20 going towards a background check. And it also goes towards their t-shirt fees, because all the volunteers do get a t-shirt. And if you imagine like 1,400 people getting the same shirt, that adds up really, really fast. So the fees actually do get used towards a greater good.
And this is not to say that those who have their fee waived don't get background checks. They still do.
It just
The con pays for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? If that was the situation, I would be okay with paying that $20 fee, knowing that I'm in for life. You know, I could do a volunteer thing 1 year, wait 10 years, come back, and I'd still be good.
Plus, it's literally going back into the con anyway, and you know exactly what it's for.
Mm-hmm. In the Phoenix Comic Con case, not so much. It really just seems like they're trying to profit from it.
It's going back to the third party, and you don't know what that money's for.
Yep. It's a sticky, sticky thing. And there are definitely ways to make it work. Amber's suggestion that conventions are doing is that people pay for their badge up front. They work their full volunteered hours. They get reimbursed for that. There are blacklist systems. They know that if people show up, get their badge, and don't do a darn thing, you can be blacklisted from the convention. You won't be allowed to volunteer again. So there are ways to prevent it. Just outright profiteering from it, bad juju.
Let alone volunteering, you may not be allowed to attend the con again. They may actually just blacklist you from the con system entirely. And let me tell you, when you're blacklisted from one con, other cons tend to hear about it, because very few people are actually blacklisted. So when you get on their list, yeah.
Everyone knows.
Yeah, remember that whole guest debacle where guests were forging their convention histories? Yeah, other cons heard about that really fast once those people got blacklisted. So it happens fast.
There's no hiding from conventions.
Because it's the same people basically running the conventions and their friends. So, yeah. All right. Shall we do tutorial?
Yeah, let's do the painting and weathering tutorial.
Since the episode is this long, do we want to put it in next episode?
We can definitely do that. I think our chatting time took way longer than we expected.
I think so.
my goal for 2017 with CosPod is to have more tutorials out there for you guys. And the fact that I'm streaming so much on Twitch now, it's actually been a lot easier for me to make tutorials. So we'll definitely have more this year. That's a guarantee. I can assure you of that. But yeah, since we've hit our 1 hour plus limit already, woo! We can save that for next time.
Something to look forward to for next episode of Cosplay, right? The podcast for all things cosplay.
And it's the beginning of the year, plenty of time to weather your prop. You could weather your prop the night before and you'd be good.
You can go stick your prop outside right now and weather it naturally.
I don't want that to happen.
I mean, in general, not you, yours particularly.
Right.
Go stick whatever, you know, clothing you're wearing for your costume. You can go stick that outside and it'll weather it.
There we go. Done.
All right. Well, we would also like to end this episode by thanking Alan. He knows who he is because he donates to us every year more than we need and won't take no for an answer. So sincerely, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for donating to the show, Alan. Hopefully this is still proving entertaining for you. And for all of you guys who have downloaded the show and stuck with us for 5 years, this is our 6th year.
6 years in. Thank you, Alan. There's the hearts.
So please continue to share the show with your friends. Spread the Cospod love. Thank you for downloading the show. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for sticking with us all these years. And hopefully this will continue in 2017 as we strive to be the light in the darkness.
The light in the darkness.
Yes, we will be the light in the darkness that makes people laugh and groan and roll their eyes because of bad puns and bad jokes. That's fine. That is my mission this year. I will make people laugh and roll their eyes at me.
So we'll be the yin and yang like we usually are?
Yes.
Okay.
So our goal is to stay exactly the same.
Cool. I can do that.
Please feel free to send in your questions, comments, concerns, suggestions for future interviews, tutorials, and episode topics. If you guys would like to send us constructive criticism, that is perfectly fine too. We are happy to accept. If you'd just like to tell us how much you love the show, feel free to do that as well. We enjoy getting y'all's emails and y'all's posts on Facebook and all of our social media. With that, we will see you guys next episode in 133 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Bye-bye, everybody, and happy cosplay.
See you later, kids. Bye.